Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mystery, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abraham, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober. Endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, a rather famous preacher was invited to come and proclaim the word at a rather large tent gathering. And he went up into the pulpit, much like this, high above the congregation, and he looked down on them. And he got onto one of his favorite topics, which is sin. He talked about lust and greed, selfishness, jealousy, drunkenness, and the line went on and on. He talked about sin and he hit it all. And then he paused for a moment and he looked out at the congregation and he said, "If there are any men here who are not sinners, let them stand up." He waited. There was silence. And finally, this elderly woman stood up. And he looked at her incredulously and said, "Madam, why are you standing up?" And she said rather meekly, "I didn't want you to be the only one standing." Now, sin is around all the time. That means God is very busy with me and perhaps with you. Because sin disrupts the world that God intends. And he's not talking about the little sins that we do, like forgetting a pencil or forgetting to say hello to someone. He's talking about sin that sort of takes over a corporate group or a nation. And he wants good. This creation, he says, is very good, and he wants good for all. And that's why he has you and me and St. John's Cathedral in his mind. Now, today we hear about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The story begins with three figures approaching Abraham's tent. Abraham sees them, rushes to get some water so that they can clean their feet. He gets some bread to break the initial hungry feelings that they have. He goes to Sarah and says, make your famous cake. And he kills the fatted lamb. And a meal is prepared for all those who are present to his hospitality. And Abraham himself stands aside attentively, ready for any wish that they may have. And the whole point is that Abraham shows wondrous hospitality. Something very important in a desert country where people could travel and die in the wilderness. They needed sustenance. They needed to have a place where they can get re-energized and rewatered. Then two of the men went on to Sodom. They wanted to investigate the cries that had arisen from people in the city saying that there was such great injustice. And so these two figures went off to Sodom. And then that left Abraham standing before the Lord. And as you read through these verses here, it's very important to see that none of this stuff was initiated by Abraham, but was brought about by God himself. In fact, Abraham says that you are the God of justice. Now let me ask you this question. What if there are 50 people in the city who are righteous? Will you destroy the city if there are 50? And God says, I will not destroy the city if there are 50. Well, how about 45? 40? 30? 20? 10? And the Lord says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy the city. Now, I read a commentator, and he said, what if there were 9? Will those who cried out to the Lord about injustice be destroyed along with the wicked? And the same commentator goes on to say that 10 is a critical mass, short of which no community is able to survive into the future positively. There may come a time when not even God can turn a situation around. Judgment must fall. And I think I thought about that to myself, that in God's creation there is an order of things. It's ethics, and all those things are built right into the creation. And I can remember when I thought about a man who was smoking. And if he kept on smoking, it would be bad for him. Judgment is built right into the creation. At the same time, what we are dealing with here is corporate responsibility. Think of the financial collapse that we experienced recently on Wall Street, caused by a few, but suffered by all, the consequences we all bear. And the Old Testament is very clear. We're pretty good when it comes to individual justice. We got our courts set up. Somebody's guilty, goes to jail. But we do find it hard at times to deal with corporate life, if you will. I mean, who are you going to sue? Who's responsible? And so on. And so the Old Testament makes it very clear to us that we as a people are going to be responsible for what happens within our own society. Paul looks at the church as a corporate entity, the body of Christ. When you are baptized, you are not baptized to fly solo. You are baptized into the body of Christ. And you and I are intricately involved. And so how it goes with the whole congregation will have a bearing on how it goes with us and how it goes with the service and ministry of this congregation. St. Paul said, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And I know that we have our prayers of the people. It's very, very long, that extra list. All prayers for other people. And if you know somebody very dear with cancer, you do suffer along with him or with her. Now, the world is still fraught with... I heard recently about human trafficking. Taking young women from one country and shipping them somewhere else for ill purposes. We are also aware of greed, laziness, self-centeredness. The list can go on and on again. So God is going to turn to us for input because we live in a world that's pretty messed up. And who are going to be the children of Abraham to deal with what's going on? And God asks for the input of St. John's Cathedral. We had a baptism this morning. And every time we have a baptism, one's coming up in November, several are coming up in November, you are asked, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Now, all persons is pretty broad, is it not? And is it not a high standard to say to love your neighbor as yourself? That's a pretty high standard. It's very demanding. And we know what it means. It gets into our very vitality of life to care for oneself, but to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And will you strive for justice and peace among all people? And you're free to answer that any way you want to. Every time we have a baptism, you're free to answer any way you want to. But I want you to know that the way you answer that does shape your destiny and your relationship with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. You are saying yes to Him. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world. A lot of pain, a lot of injustice. It's overwhelming. And when I look at it by myself, it's frightening. But I am not a solo Christian. I am a member of the body of Christ here at St. John's Cathedral, and I feel pretty strong in your arms and in your direction and in your prayers. And that's the same gift that you have also. Walter Wink, a great New Testament scholar, made this statement. He said, prayer changes world history. Prayer changes world history. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the one who created this world, who sent his son to die for us and raised him again, hears our prayers, and that changes world history? Jesus fed the hungry and gave sight to the blind. But you know that when he was dead tired, could barely move, he would go and give comfort to somebody, even though he was totally worn out. And so you and I, we call Jesus Christ our Lord. And he shapes our life. And when you and I are tired and worn out, we remember Jesus Christ, who comforted and reached out to the needy, though he was dead tired. And we begin to see also the fact that we are together here as brothers and sisters baptized into the body of Christ. And we are a strong people. And God wants input from the people, the body of Christ, St. John's Cathedral, as to what we need to do when the stranger comes to our door. But even more than that, he wants us to step out into the world, bringing good news and healing and care. And that just reminds me that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is sort of bracketed. On the one hand, you have Abraham welcoming the stranger. On the other hand, you have the people of Sodom, who, when the two figures come to Lot's house, they show their teeth and they want to tear them apart. And you and I are bracketed by our baptism and our ongoing life in the Holy Spirit. And we are called as a people to do those things that we know God calls us to do and that are in our very DNA. Now, Walter Wink said that prayer changes things. And in the gospel lesson, the widow, one of the most powerless people in society in that day, and maybe today too, she comes to, of all things, she comes to an unjust judge for justice. That ain't going to work. But she's constant. She sees the problem and she's constant to seek after help. And Jesus says, if you are constant, committed, faithful, if you pray like crazy, God will grant you your prayer. And you begin to see ministry blossoming around us because we turn to God. We give God our input in prayer, and he says, go in peace. I'll give you the Holy Spirit and power. Now, we need to look at a little slice of Christian history. After Jesus lived his earthly life on earth, there was time and time again an epidemic that swept through Europe. And what happened when an epidemic came was the rich and the powerful, the elected leaders, all fled town to their country estates because the epidemic was coming. And the famous physician Galen, under the time of Aurelius, fled the city because the epidemic was coming. But not everybody fled. Christians stayed behind. And what the Christians did is they took care of those who were severely ill and perhaps dying. They gave them water. They prayed with them. They sat by their side. And a couple of our church fathers, Cyprian and Dionysius, said that Christians almost looked forward to an epidemic because it gave them a chance to fall into the breach between disease and all of those things, to fall into the breach in their behalf and to help and comfort them. Dionysius spoke about the heroic nursing by local Christians. He said, heedless of the danger of being in contact with the sick, these Christians went forth knowing that many other Christians before them serving in the epidemics died from the disease, but they died keeping the faith, loving Jesus, and are in heaven right now. They fought the good fight. Now, the Emperor Julian looked out, a pagan, if we can use that term, and he urged his fellow citizens to come up to the standards of Christians. He said, these Christians, these impious Galileans, support not only our poor, but their own. Not only our sick, but they are with them to the point of giving their life. And isn't it an interesting thing that for you as a Christian, you don't have to fear death because Jesus Christ is risen. And that means, for the first time in human history, that people are genuinely free. They're not afraid of death, and they're willing to step into the gap, if you will, that will help make this creation good. good for all. Now, we are a corporate body. Separately and individually, I think we can accomplish a lot, but nothing like we can do as a whole people. And I think of this time when we get into pledging now. What does a pledge mean? I mean, I know it's money and all that, but what does it really mean? It means to take money that you have and transform that money, like we transform bread and wine, transform that money into loving service. And so when we pledge, what we do is we pledge to life. We pledge to this creation. We pledge to God and say, this church, empowered by your Spirit, is here to bring healing and redemption to the world. And we are a people willing to step forward and do that. May God bless you, and may God bless me as we live our life out together. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Holy Spirit and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Hear our prayer. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, our ushers will bring you a gift. We're so glad you're here. Welcome. And please feel at home, and everyone please welcome them. We also have a little card in your pew. Keep your hands up and they're going to bring you a gift, but they have to find you. Sue's looking for you. There she is. There's a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're glad you're here with us today. The men of St. John's are preparing for a retreat on November 15th through 17th at Camp Weed. Brochures are at all the sanctuary entrances, and a marked table is set up after all the services for registration if you would like to come and be part of this retreat. Tickets for the choir talent show are now on sale. They may be purchased from a choir member or online. See the bulletin if you're interested in doing that. It's going to be a great talent show. We're all roped into doing acts, even I am, so I hope that you will come and enjoy it with us. We will be baptizing a number of folks on November the 3rd on Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, so if you are interested in baptism or know someone who is, feel free to call the church and let us know. And the cathedral is in alliance with the Hearing Loss Association of America, and their Walk for Hearing will be held on November 9th. If you are interested, consider joining the Team Cathedral to show your support, and there's more details about that in your bulletin as well. And those of you who are on our members, on our mailing list, we have sent out our pledge cards for 2014, and we hope that you will pledge a financial pledge to the church if you're able. That way we can write our budget for next year and do all the amazing things we do here in the city. So please remember to pray about that, to be generous. You can turn in your pledge card anytime. Sunday on the 3rd, we will have a particular offering that you can bring up and place it in the basket here. Hi, guys. And also, you can pledge online if you'd like to do that. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to a new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We are many, are one body, because we all share one bread, one bread. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood.
Send us now into the world in peace,
and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. And God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.